roll, rock and roll in episode 541, No Laugh Track Podcast here in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Acme Comedy Company. I am Justin Severson here each and every week talking to the headliner. Quick update, last week we were about to do one with Dean Del Rey and things happened. He had to bail and leave town. Already been rescheduled. He's going to be back here in July.
Oh, nice.
Good news regarding that.
Well, thank God.
But right now I am here with Jeff Dye. So happy to see you. Awesome
Thanks
show last
me,
night.
Oh,
we're,
thank you.
We're going to talk all about that. And it's been about a year since
exactly
we did this.
Exactly 1 year, according to that wall in the green room.
Yeah.
Because my name, for those of you who listen might know, for some of you, maybe you don't, there's a wall and there's these little squares. And when it's your weekend, you get to sign the little square. Well, mine will be right next to mine last year. It'll be exactly next to it.
Oh, is it really?
Because either it's been exactly a year or it's a weird coincidence.
I think, yeah, it was like the second or third week of March. So, yeah, nice.
It's pretty cool.
And also, it's another thing that's happening is the week after you, Kelsey Cook will be here.
Yes,
as well.
and this was exactly a year from hers.
Because
she was right under my square, and then now I'll be right there. So, pretty thorough booking.
Yes. So,
she lives here now, so is it that special anymore? Is
yes.
it special for Acme to have Kelsey Cook on stage if she lives in town?
Based on the ticket sales that I've seen, yes. It's
still
very
deal.
Special, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, because like, when I'm in L.A., no one cares.
Stop.
They go, he lives here. I'm being serious.
Yeah?
Like they go, yeah, we see him all the time in town. When I drop into the Laugh Factory, they go, perfect. Yeah, he dropped in yesterday.
Oh, I suppose.
So I was just wondering if Kelsey Cook is here all the time.
Oh, no, it's still a big deal.
Still a big deal.
Still a big deal.
All right.
I don't know that she's here all the time. It's different, though, compared to, like, you know, I mean, here Acme set up with, like, there's an open mic one night, and then it's pretty much a comic doing the whole week. You're doing, like, things are set up differently at a lot of the clubs in L.A., right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I have no idea.
Like, where you're doing, do you do full weeks at a club in L.A.?
No.
It's like a night,
Yeah,
right?
But if you are in town, you know, for a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
True.
You tend to drop into the same spots.
You okay.
know, I'm at the store all the time. I'm at the Laugh Factory all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
So some things don't change in that you're here in the middle of March and Kelsey's right after. Some things change quite a bit, Jeff Dye.
Yeah, I guess I just realized, you know. Sorry, guys. Buy your tickets to Kelsey Cook. I forgot this is still a business here, not a podcast. My bad. Get your Kelsey Cook tickets.
No, that's not my
She's
point.
She's not around anymore very
that's,
often.
That's not my point whatsoever. My point is...
But she's from where I'm from, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known her forever. She was, for a long time, you know, in the business at least for like a little sister.
Well, you know what? That leads into... Since you were here last, you did an episode with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Great up.
Last month. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was great.
And something that really took me by surprise is you mentioned our pal, Acme's pal, Kermit Apio.
Love Kermit Apio, yeah.
I don't know that I knew you guys. I should have known with
yeah.
a history in Seattle.
Yeah,
from
Seattle
the same town.
Guy.
But I thought it was so awesome. And on such a big show like Rogan, you're like, oh, yeah. And
yeah,
Kermit Apio took me out on the road
dude,
when I was
Kermit
young.
Kermit Apio is one of the nicest headliners to me. So there was a few guys that deserve mention. From my origin story, there's a guy named Harold Gomez, and he was literally like, dude, I'll bring you on the road. And you've got to factor all the things. You know, I'm a really hungry open micer to work the road. And like, you know, so with that comes, I'll drive, I'll pay for gas, I'll go on. Like, so that's a little bit of a motive for a headliner to be like, this young guy is going to drive me in a BMW SUV gig to gig, and then I'll pretend to be asleep every time he wants gas, you know? Like, so there's that motive for a headliner, for sure. But then also I was, you know, people would come out to see me because I was very active on MySpace and trying to get people out. Even when I was bad at comedy, there was you know, I had a little bit of a draw, and then also, you know, I'm not terrible to be around. I talk a lot. I'm fun. I want to hang out. I'm down for anything. So there was that aspect. But I was pretty bad for a long time. But colleges used to be really young. Colleges are still young. But young people, when I was starting comedy, like 2005, 2006, 2007, the colleges were just easy. It was the easiest shows in the world.
Okay.
Because you're young, they're young. You're referencing things they know.
Sure.
It wasn't like they weren't as opinionated and political as they are now. And so Kermit would bring me to open for him, and I would crush for like 15 minutes, you know, whatever the shit I'm doing at the clubs. And then Kermit would come out, and he's talking about his wife, and he's talking about Hawaii, and he's talking about, actually Hawaii would still work, but like talking about being married or talking about aging.
Yeah.
Is it the same to, you know, 19-year-old kids right. at a college? And Kermit was so sweet. He was like, dude, I think I'm going to tell my college agent, like, she should rep you, and like, you should be doing these shows. You're really connecting with these kids. He didn't have to do that.
Like, so cool.
Yeah, to go from making $0 to $1,500 is a huge deal yeah. when you're a young comic. So, yeah, that's all because of Kermit Appeal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
You mentioned his name to Rogan, and he doesn't really have reaction. Clearly, wasn't familiar with who Kermit was. And yeah. then you said, he's a road dog.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely, he's a road dog. 100%,
yeah. Uh-huh. Which road dogs, and I think most, especially Acme, and maybe your listeners would be pretty aware of, like, what real comedy is, and not to shame anything else, but it's like, there's guys who don't work stadiums who might be the funniest people in the world. There's guys that don't do theater tours that are very, very, very talented and funny. Are there a lot of hacks? Yeah, 100%. But, and Rogan's very out of touch with all of those kind of people.
Sure.
You know, like he'll see a guy, like Tom Segura was just a road dog.
Yeah.
That's all he was.
I know.
He was what I do.
Uh-huh.
You know?
He used to do weeks at Acme and do the
and
podcast.
And then Joe Rogan was like, what the fuck? Have you seen this guy? It's like, yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, peek your head down here a little bit. You know, there's you're going to see some really talented comedians.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's what I was referencing with Kermit for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And Kermit still comes here. If people listen to this podcast, they've heard him on here. He's here once a year. He's fantastic. Do you see him anymore?
We were overlapped a couple weeks ago in Vegas, and I texted him, but I was in and out for a residency, and he was there for, like, Brad Garrett's comedy club, I think.
Yeah, he was.
And so I was just too quick. I didn't get to catch him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were here last year after we did the podcast, you and I and Chad Daniels...
Yeah, went to Cuzzies. Cuzzies?
Went to Cuzzies.
Cuzzies, yeah.
And had a really fun hang.
I love it. Yeah, you're a good... You're a much better hang.
Thank you.
You're a good podcaster, yeah. but I'd rather be your friend.
I accept. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, Cuzzies, I didn't realize that it's spelled exactly the same as one of the worst MLB umpires in the world.
Oh, that's Phil hilarious. Cuzzy. Phil Cuzzy.
Yeah, it's named right. So, like, I passed it this morning, and I looked at the spelling, and I was like, huh. Yeah, that is. It's spelled exactly the same.
They didn't keep us away, though.
No, it's still cool.
So I'm based on what you were saying on stage last night, mm-hmm. I don't think you and I are going to go have beers this afternoon.
We can hang out, but I just want to have beers. I still eat. I still go to bars.
Yeah.
That was a big part of my sobriety was that I was like, for the first week before I told anyone I was going to get clean, which, by the way, in my act, I say it's court-ordered. It's not court-ordered. That's just a funny thing to say.
Sure.
Because we're in the business of selling drinks. I perform in bars every night. I can't go up there and open with how they're pieces of shit if they drink. So, you know, I say it's court-ordered so they can feel like, you know, have a good time.
Bottoms up.
Yeah. But the first week before I decided that I was really going to get sober, I did all of the things that I do in my normal life that I love, but without drinking, to see if that was still a possibility.
No kidding.
So still go to the sports bar. You know, and hang out and just drink water and watch baseball and hang out with my friends and socialize, talk to girls to see if that's possible. Because if I had to give up all those things, I'd be drinking right now. But if I can still but if I can still do all those things and not drink, then I'm happy to be sober. And I realized you don't need alcohol to do all the things I love to do. You know, I can talk to women still. I can hang with buddies. I can watch sports at a sports bar. I can go to Vegas. So I was like, oh, I don't have to compromise my lifestyle, and I can live. So no drinking.
So how was Vegas for the first time?
Easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Mostly were you with anybody? Were you hanging out with anybody?
Yeah, I've been probably 10 times in the last 150 days, and I've been sober 150 days. So
get out of here.
Yeah, I feel good. It's easy.
Wow.
Alcohol sucks. I don't like it no more.
Wow.
Like I think of alcohol like a bad relationship, or not a bad relationship, like a marriage. Let's say a marriage, because it was good until it wasn't, and then at the end it was such a bad thing that's what's keeping me from drinking again. Like I'm like it's like I can't.
I was with you. I was like in my mind, I'm like this is like marriage. I was married once. It was really good, and then not good, and it ended. but it didn't stop me from getting married again.
I guess, but almost.
No.
But you didn't get married to the same woman. Is how I'm using the analogy.
Perfect. No,
yeah, because,
no, I didn't.
Yeah, because now when you think of that woman, it didn't change all those good times you had, and when you first met, and she's probably still,
of course,
you know, a nice person, but it's not for you anymore. Like that it was a, you know, it got to a place where you just can't, and that's how I feel with alcohol. Like alcohol had good memories, a really good time, but it just can't do it no more.
It got
real dark in the end.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you noticing more money in your pocket by not buying booze?
I've never shared this. My finance guy said that I am saving, and this is so crazy, $5,000 a month on alcohol. Yeah, because, and I started, I go, there's no way that math is correct. Because usually where I go, we get free alcohol, the comedy clubs and stuff like that. But here's the thing, so my schedule used to be, you know, I do all the things in the day that I like to do. And then around like 5:30, I'd go watch basketball or football or baseball. And that's at a bar. So I'm just drinking, eating. And you eat when you drink a lot. And so then I'm also, like, my friends don't have as much money as me, at least a lot of my friends. So I'd pay for their stuff.
Sure.
And then, you know, you get shots with someone comes over, you go, yeah, let's do it. And then I go to the comedy club. And then at the comedy club, that's all free. But then afterwards, I'm like, let's go to another place. So, you know, a few $100 a night. Some nights a lot more, like on, you know, like on a cool Friday or cool Saturday.
Sure.
And then some nights like $60 a night.
Yeah.
But the mathematically worked out to $5,000 a month.
Oh my God.
So a lot of extra coin by just not drinking while still going to those places. I leave and go, I spent $0 here. That was pretty cool. Just, you know, I had some water.
Wow. What do you do with all that extra money?
Just sitting around. I don't know. It's in an account.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's been, but I also, like, if I see a jacket or something I want, I don't hesitate anymore. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to sell the money I'm saving on alcohol and buy that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I briefly took a little break from drinking. Some TikTok videos, like, a few months ago were like, you should, I don't know how they caught me. Like, they're all about eating more healthy.
Oh, interesting.
Like, and it's like, I really should start eating more healthy. And then you go to the store and everything's so fucking expensive.
Oh, for sure.
And then at the same, like, maybe I'll quit drinking for a little while here. And then that's how I justified paying a lot of money for a bag of oatmeal and shit.
It's absolutely.
Like, well, and then about a week ago, my wife brought me home a 12-pack of beer, and I'm like, oh, now I'm back. Shit.
Well, my buddy Andrew Slater, shout out to him. I'm always giving him love. He used to have this great bit where he's talking about, it's just so expensive to eat clean. You know, it's like McDonald's. Yeah, like, or you go to Whole Foods and a carrot's like $12. But for $12, you can fucking have two meals at McDonald's. And you still got $2 left over to take the bus because you're too fat to walk three blocks, you know?
Exactly.
But he's like, he just goes through this whole thing about how, like, it is more expensive to eat right and not as enjoyable. McDonald's is delicious, you know? So it's like, that's the tough part for sure. Yeah.
I gotta ask, have you replaced any of drinking? Like, what have you replaced it with?
I'm smoking a lot of cigars. I've always smoked cigars, but now I smoke more cigars.
I was gonna ask you that after I saw you have one with Rogan. I'm like, wondering if that's a thing.
Big cigar guy.
It is.
And it's also fun because it's part of what we like to do is just hang.
Yeah.
You know, the hang is good, especially if you go to like a cigar lounge. It's just like, I don't even look at my phone for 2 hours and I don't even realize that I didn't, which for me is like a real measurement of how much I'm enjoying my time. Is like, oh yeah, just was talking and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when we were at Cuzzy's with Chad Daniels, it's like, that's what we are. We're talkers, you know? You just want to like talk and hang. So
honestly was like a highlight of my year last year. That was such a fun hang.
Yeah,
it really was.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was on St. Patrick's Day.
It was?
Yeah. Oh, wait. So that would have been exactly a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
was that last week?
It was last 17th. Today's the 20-something, 21st. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Four days ago.
There you go. You
can tell St. Patrick's Day is a big deal for both of us. When was that?
I know nothing about it.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't have to work. I stayed home. I don't fucking know. I don't do anything about it.
I will say that to the listeners, too, maybe. Like, the money I've saved, right? And you'll be like, oh, I didn't save that much money. Or, oh, I don't feel that much different, right? You know, sometimes people hear me speak about sobriety in the last like 150 days and they're like, well, I didn't feel like that. Yeah, dude, you probably don't have a problem. So like I'm only feeling all these things and saving all this money because it was bad. It's not cool that I drank so much or spent that money. Like, I'm feeling the effects of it better because I had a problem. So you might do these things and then go, oh, I probably don't have it as bad, you know, so.
One of the things you mentioned last night about that was about being the fun drunk. And nobody wants to stop the fun drunk.
Yeah.
And I mean, you said that and like three of my friends popped into my head.
Oh, for sure. Nick Swartzen. one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah.
I adore him. I don't think he wants to quit drinking. He loves his life and he has a great time. I texted him immediately after all that stuff went down at the theater.
You did?
Oh, texted him immediately.
Okay, and?
I was worried.
Yeah.
He's a fucking human. I love him to death.
Well,
and the stories about Swartzen are very notorious. Oh, I heard he was down in the Keys and like people love to go. I'm like, let's just call the guy. It's my friend. You know, like Bert Kreischer. These are my friends that people are whispering about.
Yeah.
So I just text him. I say, hey, you good, dude? Like, I love you, man. Are you all right? He goes, yeah, I just did too many edibles, and it's high elevation. I did a bunch of edibles, and I drank, and I just had a little brain fart. And I was like, okay, but you're good? He goes, yeah, I'm great. I go, all right, man, I love you. And he goes, I love you, too. Like, it was just that easy and simple.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's nice. So simple for, like, a regular person to view something and go, ugh, whisper here, gossip this. But it's like, that's just a person, you know.
But
he is a very fun drunk. You know, Nick's a very fun drunk.
Yeah.
A great hang when he's drinking.
Been there a few times with him, yeah. Lots of fun.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just tough for anyone else to decide for someone else.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that nobody decided it for me. I had to like come to that conclusion to myself, for myself.
What if there would have been somebody like, let's say, a year ago or 2 years ago, been like, Jeff, bro?
I was very defensive of it. Yeah. I had an ex-girlfriend be like, "You're an alcoholic." I was like, "Shut up! I drank with you." That's what made me mad about it. It's because like I wouldn't drink. I barely drank when she wasn't around, and then me and her like spent COVID like just drinking all the time. It's like, I think that's another part of alcohol. Is like it's so part of what everyone does as a grown up.
Sure,
you know, you know that like what else? I'm struggling to figure out what else to do. You know, I've been like when I've talked to this girl I'm speaking to, I'm like I don't really know what to invite her to or to do. I'm like, let's do sober things. I don't know what that means, but let's do basically what drink people do without drinks.
It is weird because they're like, well, clearly there's so many people out there that are sober and live wonderful lives, but. You're like, what do they do to have fun?
Yeah,
I know.
We need like sober bars.
Yeah.
Just a bar you can go to. And, you know, so I think that's what I like, a cigar lounge or like hanging out with other comics doing whatever.
Sure,
sure. Sporting events are good for that.
Well, we need to talk about a little sports here too. But let's talk about, have you recorded anything? Did you record a special?
I recorded a special.
I thought I saw that. That it was recorded. Not that I've seen it.
Yeah, no, it hasn't came out. I'm still editing it, or I'm still choosing the material for them to edit, because it's tough, you know? They'll say, like, we did 4 recordings.
Okay, yeah.
So if it's a 3-minute chunk, I've got to watch that 4 times. So just to edit the 3 minutes, I've got to watch it, you know, 4 times to decide which one I like best and which line to keep. And so that, for me, is way too meticulous.
Okay. Will this be YouTube eventually, or what are you going to do?
We're going to try and sell it, and that means it'll land on YouTube. In my experience, that's exactly how this goes. But I do, we're optimistic that we can sell it to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm good friends with Rogan now, and so like he's like, yeah, come on the podcast and promote it when it comes out. So
nice.
that would help. I have that in my pocket. If I go pitch it to a Netflix or something, I could say, hey, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But most likely it'll end up on YouTube and people can see it there. It's called The Last Cowboy in LA.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is very fitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone left. Everyone left LA.
Yeah, no shit. They all moved to Texas, right?
Which is the dumbest political stance. I don't like this place, so I will leave. Oh, that's really going to help things, isn't it? Oh, if so-and-so wins, I'll move to Canada. Oh, that's really smart, isn't it? Where you'll have less of a say or vote on things that happen.
Yeah, good
point. It makes no sense. I don't want to leave any place. I'd like to change places and make places better. I don't just want to leave. That's not heroic to leave.
You have your own celebrity/sports star running for, what is it, Senate or something in California. Steve Garvey?
Garvey. Isn't that crazy? And Andrew, or I'm friends with Aaron Rodgers, and he's rumored to be potentially running with RFK. I don't know if that'll happen, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what makes a good candidate anymore.
I don't either. I mean, we're standing in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Jesse Ventura once won an election.
Right. So and also, like, that guy goes in waves of brilliance to insanity.
True.
Literally, like, he'll say it, like, I'll listen to a thing, and I'm like, this guy's actually really clever, dude. I like this guy a lot. And, like, a week later, I'm like, what a crazy person. Like, it's very up and down with that.
Yeah.
That guy.
Oh, also a rumored running mate of RFK Jr.
Interesting. He could do a lot for himself by just cleaning up his look. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesse the Body is like a haircut away from me actually listening to something he says. He looks crazy.
Also, that hair is only around the bottom of the
it looks crazy. You're like, what are you doing? You know, presentation goes a long way.
Remember, he was and he was all about presentation in his wrestling days. He was never a good wrestler. He was all about presentation. The feather boa and the
which is
pink
funny.
Tights. He was all about presentation.
He was before my time as far as wrestling. I started watching in the 80s and 90s, and he was like a 70s guy.
Yeah, early 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I was a baby, I guess.
Sure.
But I see clips, and it looks like Hulk Hogan borrowed a lot of these things.
I think the story is they both borrowed from the same guy. Superstar Billy Graham.
Okay, yeah, I know.
That's
Billy
a name
Graham.
You probably have heard.
Yeah, I met him a few times.
See, I think they stole his act.
Okay,
if I
there's a lot of borrowing in wrestling, and nobody seems to care.
No.
Yeah.
Are you still doing your podcast about wrestling? You are
every week. Me and Freddie Prinze Jr. have a Wrestling with Freddie is what it's called / Wrestling with Friends. Which is an acronym for WWF.
Love that.
Which we did on purpose. Yeah.
Love that. So you're still doing that. That's
still
great.
Still doing that. And I met Shane McMahon the other night.
I saw the picture of that.
Oh, it was amazing. We had the Lakers game, and Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, shout out to Jeannie. We love you. She's like, hey, Shane McMahon's coming tonight. You got to help me entertain him. I go, what do you mean help you entertain him? Like, absolutely. Like, yeah. I'm a huge wrestling fan. You know that. She goes, I know. That's why I'm texting you. And I said, will you introduce us? She goes, of course. So she didn't even introduce us. The second Shane walked in, I was giving him these looks like, what's up? Which made him think, oh, maybe I know this guy. You know how that happens when you're in a small, like, little, you know, area? Like, he thinks, I don't know, this guy's looking at me like I must know. So he walked over and shook my hand. I go, what's up, man? Jeff Dye, I met you at the XFL game, which was super brief. But he was so polite. You know, he meets a million people a day. So he was like, oh, how are you? And I was like, is this your son? I met his son. He was so nice and so cool. And then Jeannie came over. Like, she didn't even have to introduce us because we were already talking.
Shane old was friends.
Just, yeah, Shane was just a class act and like a super cool guy. I'm trying to think why I brought this up.
Well, I brought up wrestling if you're still doing the podcast.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I was going to say. So it was just a really brief interaction. I don't want to talk his ear off. I mean, I do want to talk his ear off, but I'm trying to be polite, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of exchanged some few back and forth. And then me and Jeannie, blah, blah, blah. We got some pictures. And then I went out to watch the game with my friend. And literally, like, maybe 2 nights, I can't remember, I get a text from him. That was, hey, it was nice meeting you. If you're ever in New York City, like, you know, reach out or we'll come to a show. And I was like, Shane McMahon's now texting. Like, this, my life is so cool. I love my life. Aaron Rodgers is texting me. Like, Shane, I was just so, so cool. Yeah, man. But anyways, he was such a nice guy. I was happy to meet him.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's absolutely wild. Do you follow any of these, I don't know what we're supposed to call them these days, the little people wrestling?
The minis or whatever. I mean,
I don't know how it came
I've
on my.
I've seen those come up.
My For You, they came up in that a couple of weeks ago, and then I started following.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. It just like it feels because like you're taught, at least when you're my age, hey, that's exploitive. You know, don't encourage this. And then they're like, what if we exploit ourselves? Make a whole league. So like. As cool as it is and as fine as it is, and I'm not talking shit, I think it's great, you know, do the thing. But there is this hesitation in my head of like, oh, are we, am I laughing at this? There was a feeling of that with the late, great Brody Stevens, who was like a good pal of mine, and he was, you know, just such a great, awesome guy and a fun comic. But there were times when he would be like playing drums on Periscope or whatever, like in his apartment, and it's getting all these views and all these people, and it felt like exploitive. It felt like we were laughing at him more than with him. And people were like, "Did you see Brody today?" And I was going, "I don't watch that." He's too much of my friend for me to watch.
Interesting. This.
Yeah, it felt very. But that's how mini wrestling feels to me.
I'm so. I feel the same way. I'm glad you said that. I'm like, are they being taken advantage of? Because they've, A few of them that I've started seeing these clips on TikTok, I'm like, are they few of these seem like more than just like they have maybe some other special needs.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Or it's just hard to figure. It's hard to navigate for me.
Yes.
It's like OnlyFans with these chicks. These girls go, don't objectify us. We'll objectify us, you know? And you're like, well, now I feel conflicted. Wait, is it okay or not? That's another thing about these like these kind of subjects. It's like, why are modern times and young people so pro-sex worker, but so anti-sex customer?
Interesting.
If I said I was home all day just watching OnlyFans chicks, everyone would be like, ugh, keep that to yourself, pervert.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
but
for
like,
sure.
But if a girl's like, oh, I worked today for 6 hours on OnlyFans, people are like, you go, girl. Get that money.
She's providing for her kids.
It's ridiculous.
She's a provider.
Yeah, that's the young person like notion. Everybody like 30 and under is like, he getting paid though.
Right.
She getting paid though. You know who's really rich? Napoleon. You know, Stalin, really rich guy. You know that Hitler had multiple properties. You know, did you use that when he was, for all of his ethics? Did you say,
Stalin, getting paid though.
He's getting paid though. Yo, he doing him. It's a terrible argument. You know, I'll comment on some guy doing a terrible thing on Instagram, and everyone's like, yeah, but you talking about him. He rich, though. You're like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. And also, if we're just going to measure things by money, I guess Bill Gates lives in an eternal state of bliss because he has so much money.
Yeah.
Or like, we can't criticize Elon Musk because he's so rich. He getting paid, though.
Don't, you know? Twist it, man.
Yeah,
Don't twist it.
It's very silly.
Oh, that is fantastic. Are you, is the baseball card podcast still going?
No, we stopped doing that.
A
big part of it was because it was called 12 Packs, where, like, you know, I was supposed to drink while I opened packs.
Curious about that.
And then, if I'm being just fully honest and open, nobody watched it. It just didn't have enough viewers for us to justify keep doing it. Like, the guy whose idea was, Mike Nell, who's a pal of mine, a great guy, you know, I think he thought I drank more than I do, and also, like, we maybe overestimated how much, you know, I could commit to it, / how many people would care.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so, like, between the guys that were on it and me, it was just too much.
Fair enough. Well, I have a question about baseball cards for you.
Right.
I wonder if you saw this story. So this is from, a few months ago, a guy finds an unopened pack of baseball cards from 1952. Did you see the story?
I've seen a few stories similar, but this is the 52 Tops Mickey Mantle.
Exactly. So I don't know what this guy ended up doing, but I want to know what you would do in this situation. If you were going like with this guy going remodeling an old house and you find a pack of cards from 1952. Now, here's the deal that people might not realize. That pack it's unopened.
Yeah.
Potential, I think, Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth rookie cards, if I'm correct. Or at least one of those for sure.
Definitely Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle. Let's go with Mickey Mantle. All right. And then probably a Babe Ruth card. Or
maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, he was before that time.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. In any case, there's a Mickey Mantle. All right, so we'll go with that.
And it's the most coveted Mickey Mantle.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing higher than that.
So this
Willie Mays is in there.
So this pack unopened, I think I read, could be worth like around $15,000, right? So you could just sell it for that and make $15,000.
Yeah.
You could open it and see what's in there, see if like this crazy expensive Mickey Mantle card is in there, and then you have that.
Right.
Or you could open it and it's worth, you know, $20.
Right. My answer
what
is
what would you do?
My answer is always open it.
Always open it.
Yeah, because that mystery is exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that like that's what we like about baseball cards. You know, it's this little lottery.
Yeah. It
you
is.
Know. Also, you found it, right? So you're out $0.
That's true.
I mean, like you didn't buy it for $15,000 and then risk opening it.
Yeah,
you just found it. Also, I'm a big advocate of like action figures, anything. Open it, enjoy it, put it on your bookshelf, or play with it, or give it to your kid, or whatever. Like, open it is the answer always for me, because like I think about like a Wolverine action figure from like X-Men, like. In the 90s, those sold at Target for, you know, $4 or Fred Meyer, whatever you get your toys. And then guys would hold on to it. They'd be like, I ain't opening this. You know, and they keep it out of the sun and they keep it, you know, from getting dented.
You don't want that plastic to yellow?
That's the thing. But they'll do all these. They'll go to these great lengths. They've moved from apartment to apartment to house over 40 years to make sure that their Wolverine toy didn't whatever. And they risk putting it in a, you know, a bin where it could get whatever on it, and then they get to my age and it sells for $200. Was it worth it? $200, that's not worth it. And let's say it was $1,000, I'd say still not worth it. It's just too much. You know how quick we go through $1,000? I mean, that's not, that's what, rent, maybe?
Yeah.
Like one-third of my mortgage?
Yeah, part of rent, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not even, so like, it's not as valuable as just enjoying the thing. And so, like, I have, like, Hulk Hogan toys and shit in my house, and it's like, they're like, oh, it's probably worth something. I said, no, it's not. I opened it. It's been on every shelf I've ever had in my house, but that's more valuable to just look at it and have the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The displaying is
yeah.
fantastic.
Did you find the Mickey Mantle in there?
I don't know. I didn't look for an update
still
on
cool.
the story. Yeah,
opening
really cool.
It, looking through those old cards, that'd be sick.
I have a friend that had those X-Men. Like, he had all of them.
Yeah.
The ones you're describing.
Yeah.
I had the one. I had Wolverine, opened it, played with it. I think I still have it.
Yeah, it's cool.
He had all of them. Back then, he already knew. I'm going to buy two. One to open, one to save.
Smart. Yeah, smart guy.
And same thing. Like, he brought them to house after house, move after move, package, keep them safe. Then he became addicted to opiates, like, 5 years ago.
Yep,
and
sold them all.
Yes.
I've bought a few old systems that way. You go to Craigslist, you're like, this guy's selling a Nintendo for $50 with all the games and everything. And then I'll, like, meet the guy, and I'm like, oh, no. Like,
right?
This guy's just, you know, trying to get that quick cash. I go, I feel like I'm taking advantage of this guy. I will say also, to
but if
just,
you didn't, somebody else would.
I know. If I to piggyback on that thing is like, if you enjoy it being unopened and on your shelf, like if that makes you happy to see that, then that's okay too. Don't
mm-hmm.
open it.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, don't leave it in there thinking that it's going to be worth money. So who cares? Like, that's the part I'm criticizing, is this whole idea of, like, I could get rich off it. It's like, you won't.
Yeah.
The internet's crushed the hobby world. You can buy virtually anything you've ever wanted on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the idea of holding on to your things because they'll be worth something later is pretty much gone.
No, you needed to do that 50 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Let's see. What else should we be mentioning? You are doing a different podcast. Everything, what is it called? Everybody Has a Price?
Yes, that's the new one. Yeah. Me and Josh Nelson. It's very fun.
Who's Josh Nelson? Why?
Josh Nelson's just a friend of mine, and he's always asking these guys, you know, hey, how much to, you know, we'd be in San Diego. There's this big pole that everyone puts their gum on, just chewed gum.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually very gross. You probably should be against the law. You know, we went through a whole fucking pandemic. There's just a gum wall. But anyways, so there's this gum pole. And, you know, he said, my buddy Chris, we said, how much to eat one of those pieces of gum just right off the thing? And that he's just always doing that. And then he started a podcast where he would ask people how much to do things. So, and it was great. I love the podcast, but he's just not good at committing to anything. So I said, hey, how about we do the podcast together, but then the audience can raise the money for the thing. So if you say I would drop into a half pipe on a skateboard, and I've never skateboarded before, for $200, we'll give you the $200 and we'll record it. So you can actually, you not only will you see people, you know, converse about what they would do for the money, we're going to give them the money, and we're going, and you're going to get to watch them do the thing. So like one of them's like, how much to get hit by a major league pitcher.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to do that. We're going to film that so you can, people can see that, you know. Like, how much to shave your head?
How much would I? Would it cost me? Oh, let's see. I've never done that. I also need money. I don't know. $1,000?
$1,000.
Yeah.
See? There it is.
$1,000.
Yeah. And
anybody?
If people want to see that?
Anybody?
Yeah. If people want to see that?
Please.
Yeah. Oh, hair's free.
$900?
It's going to grow back.
$800.
You can wear a hat for a month. Who cares?
I came up with one for you guys. Maybe you've done this already, but I don't know if you have. Switch to a flip phone.
How much to switch to a flip phone? For how long?
A week.
Oh, I could do it for a week. $100.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd probably make my life a lot better because I would go home and just check all my socials and everything on my computer. But during the day, I wouldn't be inundated with it. I criticize people for being in their phones too much because it's the thing I hate most about myself. I'm in my phone too much. I'm part of the problem. There's so much in there. It's so entertaining. And also, I'm just, like, alone most of my day. So, like,
I still haven't seen everything it'll give me, yeah.
I'm in there, you know? It's like, but, yeah, I'd do that for
That's
sure.
That's funny.
I had a buddy who had a flip phone, Andrew Slater, I mentioned earlier. And he used to always be like, oh, you guys and your smartphones. But what I realized is he was using our smartphones, essentially.
Yeah.
Because we'd be like, all right, how do we get there? And he's like, I don't know. Use your smartphones to figure out how to get there. And we would. But without us, he wouldn't have got there.
Yeah.
So it was just him being lazy. It was just him being like, oh, I don't know. Maybe use one of your magical smartphones. We're like, Andrew, you're capitalizing off of our smartphones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And not having to do any of the work.
Hilarious. I you have a Patreon.
Yes.
That people can subscribe to.
Yeah. I talk about things that might otherwise be too controversial for Uber or for Uber, YouTube or any of these other things.
Nice.
Because on YouTube, you can't even say killed or murdered or death. You have to say unlived.
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
So that's pretty strange selection of censorship.
Fair.
And I don't think that it's ethics. I think it's their way of going, we're dishing out a lot of money to these YouTubers. Maybe if we could find some way to say that their video can't be monetized. That's my theory.
Yeah, there's and the comedians getting in trouble with that bullshit recently.
It's crazy. I'm pretty out there politically too. Like as far as like I'm all over the map.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, and so, you know, I've got views over here. I got views over here, and they're all blanketed with like I love everyone. We right. just you know I just disagree with a lot of bullshit.
So I saw that in the if you become a Patreon member,
yep.
Jeff Dye, there's a potential to get free hugs whenever yes, they run into you. Has anyone hit you up for that? For free unlimited free hugs?
Yeah, no, nobody's ever done that.
No,
I mean,
Patreon
people hug
members.
Me, but nobody's ever said, "Hey, Patreon, I get free hugs." But you do get free tickets if you want.
Yeah. Oh yeah, free tickets too.
Yeah,
I saw
that's
that.
A pretty good one.
Yeah, very cool.
I know that eventually that's going to become a problem because I'll be comping tickets.
True.
That aren't paid for. You know, they're gonna. But that's a problem I welcome. When it comes to that point, we'll have to make a decision of
right.
some sort of how to fix it. But that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, right. The rest of the year, big stuff coming up.
Are
you doing the
touring
podcast?
Yeah, I think
touring?
The special is going to be really big for me as far as like as far as that goes.
Yeah,
yeah. I've just been working real hard on the sobriety and working really hard on the writing. I've never felt more dialed in as far as writing and generating material.
I bet.
So that's been really good.
I bet. Yeah. You did quite a few rounds of podcasts recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never done that. I've never been a podcast guy, and I have a buddy who books me on these podcasts. He's like a part of the team now.
Sure.
And he's like, you know, you're really good at the podcast. And
I was just going to say, nice. you're like a top guest. You're
well, that,
really good
thank
guest.
You very much. That means a lot. I don't really know. I never had heard anyone tell me that before when he said it. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, dude, like you're pretty open and, you know, you make good arguments or whatever. He's like, and then those make good clips. And since everything's about the clip now, everything's about the reel. He was like, you should do more. And I go, all right, I'll do more then.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I've been doing it.
Yeah, it's like, I was thinking about this in the last like 48 hours, like getting ready to talk to you. It's like, how do I say to a guy, how can you make money like doing this professionally, just being a guest on shows?
Because
honestly, you're really good at it.
Well,
I mean,
really
hosting
nice.
As well. So
yeah.
I guess just keep hosting.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like there's never been a better time as far as like you can go be heard on places.
Oh, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Yeah. So, you know, especially if you got good friends. And also like it seems like the Theo Vaughns and those circle of guys – you know, that's really what broke them, I think, is the podcasting world.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's like them doing each other favors and putting each other on and putting each other over on these things is a good way to do it. So I was like, oh, that can't hurt either. So.
I witnessed Tom Segura telling Lewis Lee, the owner here, like, geez, it might be 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
Second time we had recorded the podcast together. And we're out at the bar after the podcast, and he's telling Lewis, so I'm getting a pretty decent following from this podcast I'm doing.
That's great.
And he's like, I'm sticking with it because I'm getting people showing up. He's like, you guys should stick with what you're doing too. Like,
yeah.
Holy crap.
And
yeah,
now
I
giant,
guess it was
yeah.
successful for you.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he's been a monster. But yeah. Also, we touched on it earlier. That's just a good comedian. Tom
yeah.
was a great comedian. Not good. Great comedian. Yeah. So it was good when those things happen. I'm not crazy about it when it's like some sort of flash in the pan or some sort of shtick or, oh, he's got a great show or something. Like I like it when a comedian, yeah. like when funny wins, and he was a good example of funny winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like he wasn't on The Bachelor.
You know what Golden I mean?
Bachelor. Like he was just a funny guy.
Yeah.
And for that, probably that's, you know, I'm biased, but that's what it should be in my opinion.
Finally, let's talk sports for just a couple
let's
seconds here. How excited are you for baseball starting soon?
Dude, so excited. I've been up the last two nights watching baseball in Korea.
Did you watch it 5 a.m.? Yeah.
Also, that's pretty funny. Watching Physical 100 on Netflix, these Koreans that are just like the most physical guys in the world. And then I click over to Dodgers Padres in Korean baseball. It's been a big Korean week for me.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so fun. I'm obsessed with baseball. It's kind of strange that they're doing the season opener over there. Thought that was a little unusual.
Yeah. So is it prime time in Korea that it's 5 a.m. in Minnesota time?
It's like with 3 L.A. at 5, yeah, here.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're...
Because I'm waking up and seeing, like, who won the game? Like, I'm not waking up that early to watch.
It also it throws them in a weird thing to jump from time zone to time zone. So, like, that's a weird way for the season to start for Dodgers and Padres players. I get it. All these leagues want to be worldwide. That's what they're all doing, making the NFL play in Europe.
Spain.
Yeah, and all this crap. So, I get it, but it's also annoying for us. I would like to see the season opener here in America.
Yeah, tradition.
Exactly.
It's a good tradition, yeah. But, wasn't it always like the Cincinnati Reds that started the season? That's how it was for a long time, I think.
I don't remember. But, God, I'm so happy. But when baseball is on is when I'm the most happy.
Yeah.
Going to a baseball game, like I'm like in heaven.
What is your tally of first pitches?
19.
19.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Twins was like number 7 or something for me.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I'm already at 19, which is pretty good. I got nothing lined up for this year, though, so hopefully I'll figure it out.
There'll be more.
I think the Mets and the Phillies were two of the closest I was to booking last year, so those will probably be this year.
Nice. Nice. I think that's it. Let's keep... people need to come see you.
Please, I hope they do. I don't know when this will be up, but...
as soon as possible.
Nice. Yeah, so I'll be here till Sunday morning. Come see me at Acme. Yeah. Last night was great. I mean, that's probably my favorite Wednesday show I've done in a long time.
It was a really pretty big crowd
for
on
a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I was happy as heck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because sometimes you show up to these clubs and, you know, you go Thursday's kind of a wash, and then Friday and Saturday are great.
You go
home on Sunday. Whereas, like, I was like, oh, what is the Wednesday going to be? And it was great. This has got to be the top. If you take New York and L.A. out of the equation, because those clubs are – it's just unfair, really. You got guys like Bill Burr just kind of walking in on a Monday for free.
Sure.
If you take New York and L.A. out of the equation, I'd put Acme at top 3 in the world. This club is incredible.
Take that.
Yeah, the sound, the people, the everything. I mentioned it last night in my act, but it's like – I don't know what Minneapolis is politically either. It's tough to tell in these walls what it is.
Yes.
It's tough to profile.
You got that right.
You can lean into it in Portland. You can lean into it in Florida.
Right.
And
oh,
in Minneapolis,
God, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are. And I don't know what I don't think they know what they are.
I was going to say, I am born and raised here, and I'm not even sure some days.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're kind of everywhere.
Finally, I want to... So, right along those lines about... how great this club is. When you're talking to Rogan and he was talking about building the mothership.
Yeah.
And he was like, and the low ceilings. Da, da, da. I was like, Acme.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which is so weird. Because if you're an owner looking for a new space, I think you can get seduced by how nice a space is. But when has comedy ever needed to be nice? Some of the best comedy clubs in the world look like they're a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just like these dumps but like the places, it has this comedy vibe to it that's way better. And so, you know, you could probably build, if your house was good enough, a stage in your house that only had like 15 to 20 seats, and it could be a good club.
Yeah,
because the ceilings are right on your head, and that's all it needs. That's all comedy needs.
I'll be hosting this Saturday in my basement. Tickets are free.
I thought you were saying you're here on Saturday.
No. Thank you again, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's do it again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for listening to No Laugh Track Podcast, the show with a new comedian headliner every single week with me, the host, Justin Severson. The show is produced in the heart of Minneapolis's North Loop neighborhood at the legendary Acme Comedy Club. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, and watch the video version on our official No Laugh Track YouTube channel. Wherever you are enjoying the pod, remember, drop a like, leave a review, and please tell your friends about the show. And most importantly, come to Acme and see my show in person.